Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Great to be here. I'm delighted that you're here. You ever notice this? Preachers, speakers, pastors are always glad to be wherever they're at. Wouldn't you like it if just one time one of them would get up and say, I really hate being here today, but I kind of had to do it. Reminds me of the story of a guy who was preaching in a prison. And he said to the prisoners, he said, I'm glad to be here. And he said, I'm glad you're here. And he said, I'm sure the world is a better place because of your attendance in this place. Well, folks, I am glad to be here, and I am delighted to be with Dr. Mark Smith and his precious wife, Debbie, the faculty, the staff, just to be here at Columbia International University. It's a real honor. But what I want us to do, I want us to get into the Word of God. Amen? I want us to get into the Word of God. So I want you to take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have, and I want you to go to John chapter 14. Can we do that and stand? John chapter 14. And I want to call your attention to verse 14. We're all standing. We're standing for the reading of God's Word. Standing for the reading of God's Word. We're not worshiping the Word, but we are worshiping the God of this Word. Amen? John chapter 14. Look what verse 14 says. It says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And then John chapter 15, verse 7 says this, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and hearts in your presence, I pray that you'll make our tongue a ready writer's pen. I ask you, God, to give your word a free course to travel. May it find a lodging place in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And God, for all you do today, we're going to bow our heads and we're going to give you glory. We're going to give you honor. We're going to give you praise. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Till you come, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take a few moments and I want to talk to you about what's your it. What's your it? In my devotion life, several months back, I was reading the book of John and I got to John chapter 14, verse 14, and it said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. And what rolled in my mind was everybody has got an it. I've got an it. You've got an it. Everybody has got an it. There was a pastor who had a kitten that climbed up in a tree in his backyard. And it was afraid to come down. The pastor coaxed. He offered warm milk. The kitty would not come down. The tree was not sturdy enough to climb, so the pastor decided that if he tied a rope to his car and drove away so the tree bent down, he could reach up and get the kitten. He did. All the while checking his progress in the car frequently, he figured if he went just a little bit further, the tree would be bent sufficiently for him to reach the kitten. But as he moved a little forward, the rope broke. The tree went boing, and the kitten sailed out of sight. The pastor felt terrible. He walked all over the neighborhood searching for that stray kitten. Nobody had seen the stray kitten. So he did this. He just prayed and said, I commit this kitten to your care, God, and went on about his business. A few days later, he was down at the grocery store. Met one of his church members. He happened to look into her shopping cart and he saw cat food. Now this woman was a cat hater and everyone knew she was a cat hater. And he asked her, "Why are you buying cat food when you hate cats so badly?" She replied, "Pastor, you won't believe this, but my little girl has been begging for a cat and I kept refusing. But finally I told her, if God gives you a cat, I'll let you keep it." And she said, "Pastor, you won't believe this." She went out, got in the front yard, got on her knees. She started praying, asking God for a cat. And "Pastor, you won't believe this." But suddenly there came a kitten flying out of the blue sky with its paws outstretched and landed right in front of her. She said, "Pastor, don't ever underestimate the power of prayer." Now listen to me. Her it was a kitten. But you've got an it and I've got an it. Your it may be your family. Your it may be your finances. Your it may be an emotional problem. Your it may be a situation. Your it may be a judicial situation. Your it may be a host of things. But every one of us have an it. And the Bible says, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Now, what is prayer? Prayer is the sincere desire of the heart. John Bunyan said, "When you pray, rather let your heart be without words than your words be without heart." D.L. Moody said, "I never prayed long prayers, but I never went long without prayer." Now, there's a scripture that just about every funeral I have, I quote. I go down to the committal service and I quote these verses, John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And I quote those verses, students, because I want to be encouraging to families that have lost a loved one. But I thought about this. When Jesus actually gave those verses, they were probably discouraging. Because think about it. The disciples had followed him for 3 years. They had forsaken everything. They had forsaken their families. They had forsaken what was familiar. They had forsaken their homes. They had forsaken their livelihood to follow him. And now he's saying to them, "By the way, guys, see ya. I'm going away." So it was probably discouraging. But he said, "Let me tell you something before I go away. We can stay in communion. Because if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." So here's what I want to say. We've already established the fact that I have an it and you have an it. We all have an it. The faculty today has an it. The president has an it. We all have an it. So how do we get our it? Now, I'm not deep, but I'm not stuck. There's only three words I want you to remember. Three words. Word number one is abide. Abide. Notice what it says. "If ye abide in me." In John chapter 15, the word abide is mentioned 12 times. It talks about how that branches are connected to the vine, and that's how they produce fruit. See, through a relationship with God, we have union. But through fellowship with God, we have communion. So, well, Pastor, how do we abide with God? First of all, we abide with God through the Word of God. We've got to have a steady diet. A steady diet of the Word of God. It's why we should study our Bible every day. A steady diet of the Word of God. Then the second step to abiding is to worship. What is worship? There's all kind of worship wars, but let me tell you what worship is. Worship is just expressing your love to God. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right with God. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm a football fan. I love football. Especially I love college football. I love football. My wife said, I got to watching a lot of football the other day. And she said, Benny, do you love me more than football? I said, college or pro, amen? Now, I hate to admit this, but I'm originally from McMinnville, Tennessee. McMinnville, Tennessee. So now, they're probably not another fan here, but I'm a Tennessee Vol fan. My goodness, I knew I sensed God. But anyway, my wife and I have arranged, when I die, 6 Tennessee Vol football players are going to be my pallbearers. Yes. She said, Benny, why do you want this? I said, honey, I want them to let me down one last time. Now listen, we can exaggerate just about everything. I probably exaggerate football a little bit. But folks, isn't it wonderful to worship a God that we cannot exaggerate? You cannot exaggerate how wonderful He is. Amen? Amen. Oh, folks. So how do we abide? The Word of God, through worship, and then a willingness to obey. A willingness to obey. Abide. Now, let me explain something to you. In 1984, my wife and I go to the Marin County Courthouse, and we get our marriage license, and we get married. And for 34 years, we've been married. For 34 years, we've been in relationship. But I want you to know something. For 34 years, we hadn't always been in fellowship. We hadn't always been in fellowship. See, it was a great day in my life. Now, let me explain. We made a covenant when we first got married that we'd never go to bed upset at each other. And we never have. Now, we've stayed up for 2 or 3 days at a time. But it was a great day in my life when I realized if you want your marriage to sizzle with love in the loving cup, whenever you're wrong, admit it, and whenever you're right, shut up. Now, we have constantly been in relationship. If you went to that courthouse, I'll guarantee you my marriage license would be right there. But we hadn't always been in fellowship. I told her the other day, we was having a problem. I said, Barbara, we've got to meet in the middle. If you admit you're wrong, I'll admit I'm right, and we can meet in the middle. And let me tell you something, folks. You can be in relationship with the Lord and not be in fellowship with the Lord. Psalm 66 and 18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The Bible says that we can be out of fellowship with God. We cannot be abiding. And ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to get our it, we've got to abide. And we've got to make sure there's nothing between us and God. But there's a second step. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask. You shall ask. The first step to getting your it, you've got to abide. But the second step is you've got to ask. Now, folks, I understand that prayer is about praise, and I understand prayer is about surrender, and I understand prayer is about thanksgiving, but prayer is also about asking. James 4:2 says, "You have not because you ask not." F.B. Meyer said the great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer, but unoffered prayer. Matthew 6:11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now here's the thought. What right do we have to ask God for our it? What right do I have? What right do you have? Let me give you two things that entitles us to ask God. Number one, we are His children. We are His children. The Bible says in John 1:11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. We are, ladies and gentlemen, His children. And my wife and I have a wonderful life and have a wonderful daughter. Her name's Savannah Abigail. Savannah Abigail graduated from the University of Georgia. God forgive her for that. She went on to graduate from Vanderbilt University. And now she's at the University of Missouri. She works with special needs, children with special needs. And recently I went to Missouri to visit her. And I went to her apartment and she said to me, she said, "Dad, everybody around here have got gas grills." I said, "They do." She said, "They've got gas grills." And she said, "Dad, they're grilling out steaks. They're grilling out hamburgers. They're grilling out chicken." And then I said, "Savannah Abigail, do you have one of those gas grills?" She said, "Well, Dad, now that you mentioned it, I don't." I said, "Savannah, is there a Walmart around here?" She said, "Dad, there's one about a half a mile down the road." Now, folks, it was 20 degrees. I mean, it was cold. And I said, "Savannah, let's go down there to that Walmart." And we go down to that Walmart, and I see this gas grill, and it's already put together. And I said, "That's the one. That's the one for you, honey." She said, "Dad, that's it." So we take that gas grill, and we take it outside, and I'm driving. I rented this little old bitty car, and I try to put it in the trunk of that little car, and it just wouldn't go in the trunk of that little car. And I go back into Walmart and I say, "Is any of the employees here got a truck?" "Nobody that works in the Missouri Walmart has a truck." "Nobody." I said, "This employee, maybe you can help me." "No, I can't help you. I just wanted to slap him in Jesus' name." No. "Nobody has a truck." Finally, I said, "Savannah, how far do you live from here?" She said, "Well, Dad, it's about a half a mile." She said, "I know what you're thinking, Dad. But you can't do that." And this is what happened.
So my dad is currently pushing a gas grill for me because it wouldn't fit in the car. So he was like, "I'll just push it to your apartment." And so, yeah.
Now wait, here's what I want you to see. I'm not good. Matthew 7:11 says, "If ye, then being evil, know how to give good things unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask Him?" What right do we have? We have a right because we're children of the Most High God. Let me tell you the second right you have. He told us to. He told us to. He said, "Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And that was given in the continuous present tense. That means keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Now here's what some of you are wondering. But Pastor Benny, what if I ask for the wrong things? Come up close. The right kind of abiding. The Word of God, the worship of God, a willingness to obey, the right kind of abiding will lead to the right kind of asking. How am I going to get my it? We abide, we ask. Let me give you the last point. And then we answer. There's the abiding, there's the asking, but there's the answer. Warren Wiersbe said, prayer's not overcoming God's reluctance, but it's laying hold of his willingness. John Wesley said, God does nothing but by prayer and everything with it. Little boy said to his daddy, Daddy, I'd like a baby brother or sister. He said, well, Johnny, you need to pray. Johnny prayed a month. Johnny prayed 2 months. Johnny prayed 3 months. And he stopped. And 6 months later, the dad went to Johnny. He said, Johnny, let's go down to the hospital. They go down to the hospital. And they pull back the curtain. And mother's there holding a baby. And they pull back the curtain a little more. And she's got a second baby. And they pull the curtain back a little more. And she's got a third baby. And the daddy said, Johnny, aren't you glad you prayed? And Johnny said, yeah. But aren't you glad I stopped after 3 months? Ladies and gentlemen, God wants to answer. God wants to answer. Napoleon conquered an island one time. And Napoleon conquered this island and his generals were celebrating and a person walked up and Napoleon said to one of his generals, what did that man want? He wanted the deed to this island that we just conquered. And Napoleon said, give me a sheet of paper. And Napoleon took a sheet of paper. And they said, Napoleon, what are you doing? He said, I'm deeding this island to this man. Why, Napoleon? He said, because I'm honored by the magnitude of his request. I'm honored by the magnitude of his request. I want to ask you something, since it's just us. If there's anybody other than us, raise your hand. Since it's just us, when's the last time you honored God with the magnitude of your request? When's the last time you honored God by the magnitude of your it? I love what A.W. Tozer said. A.W. Tozer said, talk to God about men before you talk to men about God. Andrew Murray said, when I work, I work. But when I pray, God works. Let me tell you a story, and I'm done. I do pastor a large church. I've been there for 29 years. God's done some pretty amazing things. I'll tell you more about it. But what gave you faith, Pastor Benny? What gave you faith to believe that God could do great things? When I was a young man, I started dating Barbara. We were just young. We were just kids. We went out a couple times, and I was in love. You say, Brother Benny, that's puppy love. It's real to the dogs, amen? I mean, I was just in love. And I said, Barbara, I want to marry you. And see, we're from Tennessee. It's just different. They still believe the earth's flat, wrestling's real, and nobody's walked on the moon. I mean, it's just a different place. She was from a little place called Prior Ridge, Tennessee. A tornado went through there and did $50,000 worth of improvements. But anyway, just a small place. And I said, Barbara, I wanna marry you. And she said, well, now, you know you're going to have to ask Daddy for my hand in marriage. I said, I'm willing to do that. So I go to her father, Mr. Roberts, and I said, I've fallen in love with your daughter, and I want to marry her. And he said, I don't recommend that. I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that for you, son. He said, look at you. He said, you're so high energy. So high energy. I did tell Barbara the other day, I said, I've taken some cough medicine. It's made me so hyper. She said, my goodness, how can you tell? But anyway, he said, I don't recommend it. I said, why, Mr. Roberts? He said, well, you're very healthy, but Barbara has 8 or 10 seizures a day. She has epileptic seizures. And you don't know what you're getting into, son. I would advise you to walk away. And I said, Mr. Roberts, I love your daughter. And I know I could meet somebody that was healthy, but I love her. And I want to marry her. And we got married. We were so young when we got married, we didn't know whether to go on a honeymoon or summer camp. I mean, we were just kids. We were just kids. Just kids. But we went on the honeymoon. And, you know, Mr. Roberts was exactly correct. She would have 8 or 10 seizures a day. She'd have seizures. Finally, we went to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. The Mayo Clinic said she has a scar on her brain and said she'll have those seizures for the rest of her life. Just take the Dilantin, just take the medication, and she'll always have them. And my wife would always pray, that was her it, that God would touch her, that God would heal her, that God would touch her. I was just a young preacher. High energy, low IQ, just a young preacher. And finally one day I came in and she said, Benny, I believe God's touched me of those seizures. I believe God's touched me. I don't have to take the medicine anymore. And me being a man of faith, I said, you need to keep taking the medicine. You need to keep taking the medicine. And so that went on for a while. And I was hiring people to stay with her when I was at work because she couldn't stay by herself. She might take a bath and drown. She might cook and fall into the stove. She couldn't stay by herself. She couldn't drive. She couldn't do anything because of the seizures. So I would hire people to stay with her. And finally, I said to Barbara on one occasion, Barbara, I'll reach an agreement with you. You got to take that medicine during the week. You've got to take it Monday through Friday. But I said, on the weekend, I can be here, and you don't have to take it. Because, see, I said, Barbara, I know how to cuff my hand over your nose and mouth and get you out of seizures faster than anybody. She said, that's okay. But she said, I really don't believe I need it because I believe the Lord's touched me. And I remember I went to work, and I was having a conversation with God. And I said to God, she's got to take that medicine during the week, but she don't have to take it on the weekends. And God spoke to my heart. You said, Brother Benny, how do you know it was God? If God ever speaks to you, you'll never have to ask me that again. God spoke to my heart, and God said to me, son, what can you do that I can't do? What can you do that I can't do? And I said, God, I'm so sorry. And I went home. And I said, Barbara, you never have to take the medicine again. I believe God with you. And listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. From 8 to 10 seizures a day to the Mayo Clinic, she never had one seizure again. And God used that to build faith in my heart many times to know that God is enough. God's enough. And young people, listen. I want the musician to come and play the piano. I want him to come if he's still. Or somebody come and play the piano. Just come and play. I want him to come. I want him to come and play softly. The praise team did a fabulous job. But listen to me closely. Everybody has got an it. And God is able to meet your it. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. I want you to stand to your feet. Just a minute, just a minute. Just for a moment, just for a moment. Everyone standing, everyone standing. Just for a moment, every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Just for a moment, before the brother sings softly when I tell him. Just a moment. With every head bowed and every eye closed. How many would say, Pastor Benny, this message was for me. I've got an it. Maybe your family. Maybe your health. It may be stress. It may be your finances. It may be physically. It may be relationally. It may be emotionally. But Brother Benny, I've got an it. And I need God to move concerning it. If that's you, hold your hand up real high. Raise your hand real high where I can see it. Hands all over the house. Hands all over the house. Hands all over the house. All over the house. Now I want every person to look at me. Every person to look at me. In just a moment, this brother's going to lead us in a song. The Bible says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. I want to do something. He's going to lead us. But if you've got an it, I want you to make your way out. I want you to just come down front. Even if you stand in the aisle, God sees us coming to him. God sees us coming to him. I want you to just come. And here's what I'm going to do. When we all get here, we're going to pray a prayer together. I'm going to pray a prayer for your it. Lead us, brother. Start singing right now. Folks, let's do something that's very biblical because it's in the Bible. I want us to do it right now before Dr. Smith comes. The Bible says this. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Can we do that on three? One, two, three. God bless you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.